Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Duo Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Reddy.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
They're a creative director and maker of live experiences. Thank you. It's Eric Hall.
Woo, 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 woo.
Wow. Air horn. Now, that's maker me. Of live experiences sounds like you're like a party planner.
That's right.
Do
that's
you,
what I do. I'm a party planner.
So you blow balloons is what you do.
Yes, I'm a party clown. I'm just a sad clown.
Do you like themed parties? Do you like throw a theme party?
You'd think that as someone who expects people to get into interactive, immersive live experiences that I would also be a good attendee, but I am a director at heart, so I just like to be in the back corner and observing and... I like to nudge people forward when they should participate, but I'm better at volunteering other people to participate than
you don't want to be the one participating.
I think that my boyfriend would say that I am being false. I'm happy to participate, but I'm always I like the aerial view. I like to sort of like sit back. Yes.
Gotcha. You love a mezzanine.
I love that mezzanine second row where you can really get the
full picture.
The big picture.
Nothing's in your way.
That wide lens. Yes, that's what I like.
I find theme party and parties with like dress codes, like that really like is an anxiety spike.
Sends you over, huh?
Yeah, it's really tough for me.
You love that.
It's tough
fourth
to find
wall.
The right theme that you don't feel too much pressure. Like, ideally, you want a theme that makes people be like, oh, this is a fun idea, as opposed to like, oh, I have to do this.
But do you remember in the early 2000s? I remember doing this like when I was in college. Like, there'd be like white trash parties.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember those? I'm sure those.
I never had one of those. Sure. I threw a lot of theme parties.
You never
in
had
college.
One of those.
No, I threw the pretentious art party was one I did a couple times.
Is that what it's called?
The pretentious art party. So I would have like art so people could like create stuff. There was always like a performance art section of the night.
John,
people would, you know, just
where did
just
you live that you could like host these things?
It was college.
Oh,
you
in
know.
College.
You just
college
carry around good. A pipe and keep telling people this is not a pipe. And,
right.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like an art gallery in the hallway. It was a lot of fun.
What were some of your other themes?
The tacky formal. So just like people sort of dress up, but in sort of like a gross way.
But you're from Jersey. Like, how could you tell the difference?
Uh-huh. Ooh,
sick burn.
Thank you. They would also sometimes be attached, because I was also a theater major, they would be like attached to a show. So like there was they did a show called Bloomers, and so the theme was wear your underwear on the outside.
Too crazy.
There was also we were just a bunch of horny college kids who were just like, yeah.
Do you think
underwear.
In this day and age you could wear your underwear on the outside, like at an officially sanctioned cast party?
If it's officially sanctioned, yeah, sure.
The unofficial now.
Probably, why not? I mean, if everyone's doing it.
Things
well, also, it wasn't like just wear your underwear. It was like, so people had like underwear over their jeans.
Oh, well, right. No, yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
Then there's one where it was a bunch of surrealist plays. So everyone, you were supposed to come as if you were someone else in the theater department.
Oh.
That was fun.
That's good.
I did that once. There was a costume party for my friend they threw for their birthday. And I contacted their sister and was like, hey, I want to dress as our friend Ash. So they let me into Ash's room.
Have you seen
a bunch of their
clothes?
Have
you seen these parties where like all the guests show up as the birthday girl or boy or whatever?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, where everyone is either wearing a mask. My cousin threw one for her husband where
it's like Night of a Thousand Husbands.
Right. Yes, and like everyone had a printed, full color print mask of Gary and was wearing.
That's a nightmare. Yes, exactly. A psychotic break.
Yeah.
Way.
But I saw someone level up where they actually bought wigs. Like some boss had this. Signature bob and a certain
must be nice to have a budget,
and so everyone, yes, exactly. I thought this is a theme party with a budget. That's pretty good. And in an office setting, which I would not participate in. So
no, never.
No. An HR nightmare.
That sounds fun though.
Not bad. Yeah, it's funny. Halloween is my favorite holiday of all time, and yet I'm not a dresser upper. Like I don't have the costume full of,
you start planning months in advance.
No, in my brain I do. Like, I have a theoretical plan, and then in actuality, suddenly the 31st rolls around, and I'm like, oh, crap, I didn't do anything.
I think I'm always like, I do, kind of want a fun costume, but then I never think of it till too late, and then, I don't want to do it. For some reason, doing it half-assed, I can't do it. Either I do it, great and nail it, or I don't want to do it at all.
I have a couple jaunty hats. I'll put on a jaunty hat or a headdress or something like that.
Something
flower
acknowledge the occasion.
Yes, but I also hate wearing makeup. Like as an actor in college theater,
sure,
if I had to play the old man or something, I was like, oh god, I just hate wearing makeup. I will never so win RuPaul's drag race despite my best intentions.
You were so close otherwise.
I know, I was really on my way,
because you're always tucking for some reason.
that's right That just goes without saying, right? Yeah, that's just a Tuesday.
Yeah. Speaking of,
that's where we edit. We cut the dead zone in the
middle. No, leave it. I was gonna say, speaking of bloodsuckers, like RuPaul.
Dressing up?
I don't know.
No, maybe.
No, I don't know. I don't think I don't have a segue.
You don't?
I thought I did, but it was like too much a track delay.
I think you can find one. Keep going.
Okay. Speaking of Clint. The artist, Gustav Klimt.
Oh, Klimt.
Klimt's pretentious art party.
Okay.
Klimt. Sure. Gustav Klimt.
All right. We're rolling with you. Yeah.
He inspired an outfit in the movie we're talking about.
This is
about
true.
Is that Mark?
Today we're talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula. John, Dracula. What's the deal with Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Bram Stoker's Dracula. It was directed by Francis Ford Coppola with a screenplay by James V. Hart based on the 1897 novel Dracula by Bram Stoker, and centuries-old vampire Count Dracula comes to England to reunite with his long-lost love. And it stars Gary Oldman, Winona Ryder, Anthony Hopkins, Keanu Reeves, Richard E. Grant, Cary Elwes, Billy Campbell, Sadie Frost, and Tom Waits. It was released on November 13th, 1992, and made $216 million off a budget of $40 million. Roger Ebert said, "The movie is an exercise in feverish excess, and for that, if for little else, I enjoyed it." And David Anson of Newsweek wrote, "Coppola's remake throws so much fancy technique at its story that the usually foolproof drama at its core gets drowned in a tide of images. It's not scary, it's not suspenseful, and its eroticism is largely theoretical." However, it was nominated for 4 Academy Awards, winning 3 of them for Best Costume Design, Best Sound Editing, and Best Makeup. It lost Best Art Direction to Howard's End. And that
insanity.
I just want to say that with theoretical eroticism is my middle name.
So. Sure. In theory, I'm
the
very
idea
erotic.
Of eroticism.
Well, Eric, we asked you to pick a movie to discuss, and you chose Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I did.
Why Bram Stoker's Dracula?
In my memory, as a young... So I was born in 1983, so I was young when this came out. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when I first watched it, but I was in my brain, this was like the gayest, most lush kind of campy, over-the-top, sensual film. It's mostly because I love the costume designer. Her name is Eiko Ishioka, and I think I'm just obsessed with her. She did The Fall and The Cell, films by Tarsem.
Yeah.
As well as Mirror Mirror, which we don't talk about as much. We can give it a nod. But yeah, I think that the costumes and that kind of sensuality, it lodged in my brain as a little queer boy in a way that then took root, and my memory of the film became something way gayer and more campy and delightful than my rewatch a few nights ago, which I was like, wow, this is actually a pretty straight film. And yeah, the theoretical
eroticism.
Yeah. I mean, there is a moment when a vampire bride is sucking on Keanu Reeves' nipples, so that's fun.
There's something.
I think maybe I just wanted to be that vampire bride.
Sure. When don't you want to be a vampire bride, though?
Or maybe I want to be Keanu Reeves. I don't know. But yeah, so I chose this mostly as a nod to my favorite costume designer of all time, Eiko Ishioka.
Okay.
That's awesome. Kind of gay, just to choose a movie based on a costume designer.
Of course.
Absolutely.
What about you, Joe? Had you seen this before?
I, in fact, saw it when it came out. I was in college, and I just realized Francis Ford Coppola, I went to the same college that he did.
Oh, really?
In fact, he started Co-winky a stupid theater company.
Yeah. Fun.
It's still is running.
Did they have Coppola posters, like, up on the wall?
No, they didn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know.
No
too
nod.
Bad. But I saw it when it came out in the theaters, and I hadn't seen it since until last night, and... Yeah, it's fine. It's beautiful to look at. I remember thinking, it's sumptuous, I think, is the word that I saw in a lot of reviews, which I think is apropos. It's beautiful to look at. Some of the acting is real rough. We don't have a lot of young American actors faking a British accent anymore.
No, we don't need that. Yeah. No.
There's a lot of good actors in Britain, as it turns out.
It turns out. You could
and once the straight travel is so much easier now, we can just ship them in. So, yeah, I mean, it was beautiful to look at, but kind of meh. I don't know, overall, is my feeling about it. How about you, Mark? What's your...
I've seen this a million times, this movie. It's one of my most... It's just a fun watch. Like, is it like a good movie? Do I care about anything that's happened? No. Right. But it's never boring. It's constantly just fun to... Like, I love the sets. I love the special effects. I love that it's all in-camera stuff.
Right.
You know, I think I love the handmade quality. And it's just so, like, constant visually just, like, cinematic and fun.
I think I read that the only VFX shot is the blue flame, on the road.
Yes.
And In my mind, the camera tricks were, you know, full of special effects. And then in rewatching it, I thought, well, it's just all practical special effects. So there's kind of a grand guignol.
But it looks great, yeah.
Old school theater technique. It feels like a play, like an opera, a very expensive opera or play that they put on stage and then just turn it into a movie. But it didn't really need to become a film because actually it feels more like a theater piece that happens to have been captured on film. It's so oddly disjointed at times. The scenes, the way they flow one thing to the next doesn't always feel like that. Maybe in the editing room, they had to cut 25 minutes. I know that
Which
much.
Is
so
insane. To
the
think.
Test audiences were like, "Ooh, too bloody. That's a little too much." So interestingly, it actually feels a little bit safe.
I think a lot of the problem is like you don't really care about the love story between the Count and Mina. Like it's oddly bloodless. You know, like they tell you we're in love. But they we don't ever like Mina is just kind of like
it's all archetypal bloodlust.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's a soul. I mean, that costume and the soldier outfit in the first in Romania
cool.
is so cool. But then, yeah, he's just lusting after Elisabetta, who throws herself off the castle
but
into the river.
But it's never boring. Like, I'm never bored to watch. I'm always down to watch Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I've seen it probably half a dozen times in my life, and every time I find something new visually that I'm in love with. And I think that I just want to wear the costumes that he wears in that first scene, that long red robe. Come on.
Get out of here.
And I mean, that's basically how I wear my hair every day anyhow.
But this movie also makes me, at the time, I guess when there was the trailer for this movie was going on, and I was like hanging out with this girl who was like into me.
Oh boy.
And she made it known. And I was like, I'm not interested. Come on, please. And then the trailer plays for this movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula, and it says at the end, like, love never dies. And she goes, see? To me. And then I said, yeah, but first it's got to live.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I think about that.
She wanted to suck on that nipple. That's what
you're
saying.
Were you not out then?
I wasn't, but okay. Come on. Read the room.
Were you having this conversation while you were wearing that red robe? That's the question.
I was, yes. My hair was in delightful bun.
Yes, a delightful kabuki-inspired bun at the top of the head. Yes.
But I'm always licking razors.
Jammy. It's a jammy quality.
The movie's very jammy. I wrote in my Letterboxd review, check me out on Letterboxd, like, it's too much, it's too rich. It's too much. It's like Cinnabon or a movie.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's all too much, but you still kind of want it. You still want
a
taste.
Yeah. Have a little bite.
You probably shouldn't finish all of it.
Probably. Yeah. I will say the third act struggles a little bit, but you know.
It is great. Like when I was just looking at Francis Ford Coppola, in a row, he made The Godfather, The Conversation, The Godfather Part II, and Apocalypse Now. That's a pretty... amazing run.
Wait, where does Dracula fit into that mix?
He made it 13 years later.
Oh, okay. So, all right. You're going back a little bit.
I'm going back. But I'm just saying, like, Francis Ford Coppola has earned a place in the upper echelon.
Sure.
No one's saying otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was Winona Ryder who actually got a hold of the script and pushed it. And then,
it was supposed to be a TV movie.
Oh. It was supposed to be a TV movie. And she was going to be in Godfather 3, but had to pull out because she was... sick, or for some personal reason, she had to pull out. But they wanted to work together.
She had to go steal from Neiman Marcus. Yes,
and then the decision to cast Keanu in this young lover role, this British
rough
barrister.
Misguided. Poor, oh dear. Poor Keanu. I don't think he had figured out. I feel like he gets the brunt of, like, there's a whole section of the Wikipedia article on this movie about Keanu's performance.
Right.
Like, there's never been a bad performance before. Keanu was like, okay, yeah, he's struggling, but he's trying. It's not like he's not lazy.
I don't know. He just, I read something he's that he was super miscast. Exhausted coming off of said, three other films.
All these other movies.
You can tell he just doesn't have much to give. And then you've got Gary Oldman giving everything.
Everything.
But not really connecting to the other actors in the film.
No.
Gary Oldman is in his own. Then there's the whole thing about the eggplant on the street scene with Winona.
Gary Oldman, I think, is a known creep, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know about that. But
I'll say it. I think he's an uncle.
Mark, how brave.
He doesn't listen. Maybe he does. Mr. Oldman, come on the show.
Like, as an ensemble, the cast doesn't. It's like they're all in slightly separate films.
They're all doing their own thing.
Than disconnect.
Anthony Hopkins is in a comedy.
He's great.
He's my favorite.
He is playing something that I don't know if that was directed, but he just chose to go like full on clown. And it was delightful. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
Richard E. Grant, I think, is fun.
Yeah, very,
Tom
very
Waits
good.
Is Renfield.
Tom Waits is fabulous. Wonderful. And actually, in rewatching it, I thought, Winona Ryder's better than I had remembered her in this film. In my memory, she was as bad as Keanu, but I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so.
And then Sadie Frost is just orgasming the entire time.
Well, I feel like we should get into it. We're going to talk about stuff again, all these horny people. Eric, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? We'll tell you when we get to it, so don't worry about it. Stop freaking out. God. All right, this is our current top five gayest movies ever. In fifth place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare.
Gay.
In fourth place with a 92.20%, Showgirls. In third place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. In second place with a 93.21%, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And number one, still reigning champ, current gayest movie ever with a 94.83%, is Female Trouble.
Very gay.
All right. So if you had to guess now, how well do you think Bram Stoker's Dracula's going to
do? I think we're in like the low 30s, I got to say.
Low 30s?
I'm going 32.3.
32.3. That would put it in 174th place. That would put it in. That would make it gayer than Supergirl, but not as gay as Parasite.
Okay, it's high, based on that, I would say. Maybe we're looking more like at the low 50s.
I think low 50s.
There's a lot of camp. Right. There's a lot of...
And the visuals. Well, let's get into it. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. These we'll each be scoring it between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores.
Don't worry, you don't have to do any of the math.
Wonderful.
So, Eric, what would you give Bram Stoker's Dracula on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Oh, God.
The only thing I thought of was like Renfield. Like a real pick-me. He's like a pick-me
familiar,
gay.
Yeah.
And then there's got to be some like homoeroticism between like the Texan, all those boys three? On horseback. You know that while they're chasing that coffin through Europe. Mm. They're doing
a little. Yeah, because once
they're a little diddle. Yeah,
once Lucy's out of the picture. Who do we really, you know, they got each other.
There's some nipple sucking, I think. I think
sure.
A nipple's a nipple.
Wait, I have to put a number to this?
Zero to 100.
It's a 14.
14.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 11.
Okay.
11.
I think that maybe when Dracula is in his bat form, that's kind of gay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Harry.
Dracula, I think, would have sex with everybody, right?
Absolutely.
He does, I don't think he discriminates
centuries
between.
Centuries old, sure.
He all looks at us as like cockroaches. So what does he care?
Who doesn't want to fuck cockroaches?
Right.
But I just mean like it's all equal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. It was just interesting that you went to cockroaches.
Well, to Dracula, but I think non-vampires are low form.
There
right?
is a little lustiness in the castle in the very early scenes.
Oh, yeah.
When Keanu is eating his chicken dinner.
Blood, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Dracula is pretty lusty at that point. So
There's actually not a lot of like neck biting in this movie. It only happens twice.
No, it's pretty minimal.
There was 25 extra minutes of just neck biting.
That's true. 25 minutes of the bloody stuff that they cut because the audiences were. I know.
It's not on the Blu-ray?
Mm-mm. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I put in the 4K, but a lot of times the special features are on the regular Blu-ray disc, and I often don't swap them. I've already watched it.
You better watch it again.
I gotta watch it again. All right.
Pause the pod.
I'll give it a 12. It got a 12.33, which is 8 points lower than the Philadelphia Story.
Oh.
All right. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
I think that's pretty high. Oh, that kind of icon. Okay.
Who were you thinking?
Oh, I was just thinking like... iconography
ABBA?
And you know things that yeah
oh,
crosses
visuals.
And blood and robes and wigs
robes
and long
and wigs.
Nails.
I see. Sure.
There's a lot of drag.
I mean, you're opening up a whole different way to interpret
the
this.
The actual celebrity, the real people.
It wouldn't be the first time we included a concept.
I'm going to say Winona is in the icon.
I would
category.
Say so from the
Heathers. I mean, okay.
Free Winona. Yeah. Remember that shirt?
Sure.
Come on, only gay guys would wear that.
The pizza meme alone.
You never saw a straight. I wouldn't wear a free
iconography
one shirt.
Category. Oh boy.
Annie Lennox on that.
Yeah, the credit song. Absolutely.
Love song for a vampire.
Yeah. Gary Oldman, not a gay icon.
No.
Not even close.
No.
And Richard Grant, maybe?
He is obsessed with Barbara Streisand.
Gary Oldman?
No, Richard E. Grant.
Oh, Richard E. Grant.
Well, I had a half a point for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of
Carrie
us.
Carrie Elway, kind of, sort of. I mean, I think
what's
that.
Big gay thing.
Well,
Princess
you know,
Bride?
As you wish. Saul? I feel like he's a little bit like, we had a little lust for
as you
Carrie
swish.
Elway. What's that?
As you swish.
Yeah, hey.
Maybe
I'm just thinking Mandy Patinkin. I don't know. He's.
I mean, these are definitely hunks. But I don't know if we consider like it's, you're not going to have a night of 1,000 Carrie Elways at the
That's
drag bar.
That's absolutely true. No, so we're really back down to just
Winona, Sadie Frost.
Sadie Frost.
She's married to Jude Law, Survivor.
And then big props.
Big props.
And then
you got
Annie.
Through. What about Dracula? Vampires themselves.
Well, I was
going to
say on a character front. I mean, I think that Dracula is absolutely a gay icon.
Right. And vampires themselves, I mean, Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, it's all about,
True Blood,
you know,
they're all gay now.
It's all about forbidden sexuality, and I think that queerness fits
seduction.
Into that very nicely.
Sure. And your costume lady.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Queer icon.
She works with Tarzan.
For sure. I know that this is about gayness, but I'm going to call her a queer icon.
Sure, why not?
We can get into the semantics later. So are we like at a 23?
23, not a lot of love for Winona's that low for you, huh?
Oh.
I don't think she's like a huge gay icon.
No.
Like, what's the, like, yes,
Heathers is like her biggest
Heathers.
Kind of, yeah.
And like, yes, she's in movies like
deal?
Beetlejuice and like.
Yeah, she's kind of a gay icon.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're
Lydia
making the
Deetz.
Case, John. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
but
we're
I don't
back.
Think she's like huge.
I'm going to go with a 31.
31.
Yeah.
Tough but fair.
I'll go 35.
35.
I appreciate the bump of 4 points.
I'll go 37. Why not? Who cares? I'm giving this an average of 34. 4.33, still pretty low. In fact, that is 53 points lower than Taxi Driver.
Well,
that has Jodie Foster.
Ooh, rewatched that one recently on a plane, and I
on a plane.
That's
a heavy. You gotta watch that.
I'm on a plane, and we're talking about Taxi Drivers.
That was rough.
Taxi Driver.
Not a plane movie.
No.
You got to watch it like in the dark and you got to have like a glass of scotch or something. Mm-hmm. Or,
quick little story. I was watching one of the Whitney documentaries. Don't remember which one. There have been two. But I was on a plane to Brazil for work recently. And my flight attendant. I almost said stewardess. That's so outdated.
No, cancel.
My flight attendant, Texan lady, blonde with the big earrings, and the, you know, all of the, she comes over and serves me a drink and sees that I'm weeping openly while watching the Whitney Houston documentary. Then she just quickly looks at the screen and says, I understand.
That's an ally.
She's an ally.
That's right. Gay icon points, 100.
All right, our next category, the queer gaze. Now, this we mean how much you can tell there's a queer person behind the camera, maybe creating queer imagery. How much queer imagery? I mean, a lot of the costumes, I think, are fairly...
Yeah, and I actually think that that kind of grand guignol and the... some of the camera work and that sumptuousness and like there's shadow puppetry and there's,
yeah,
there's a lot of like theater technique in this film. I'm going to go like a good 55.
55.
I feel like I agree with all what you're saying, but like Francis Ford Coppola, there's nothing straight, that's there.
I know.
Like, well, this is definitely gayer than like the Godfather movies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just like the lushness of it.
Sure.
The,
I mean, it's yeah, opera. The costumes and all that stuff is exciting, but it's not, it doesn't feel like specifically for gay people to me necessarily.
No.
It's I'm gonna tough. Go.
It's like it's wine. Yeah, yeah, it's for everybody on after on a end of a night. You know what
in
I mean?
In a way. I'll go 31.
Oh. 31.
Rennie.
Yes.
Are you the tiebreaker?
It's no tie. It's an average.
It's an average.
What's the average?
I don't know yet. I haven't gotten my number in yet.
Rennie.
God. I'll say 2000.
You can't say 2000.
I know. I'll go 50, right down the middle.
Wow, brave.
Give an average of 45.33, which is 5 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath
of Khan. It took me a minute, but I just realized you meant queer gaze, G-A-Z-E, and I was absolutely thinking G-A-Y, the queer gaze, and I thought, wow, we're going to get into the semantics of the difference between those two words, but no, just the vista, the outlook, the POV.
Yes.
Much more basic.
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm ready to move on. Thank you.
All right. This one might be a little more clear cut. The Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie will give Mike Pence? I think a lot.
I think we're at a very high in this category.
We got a lot of breasts.
There's a beast man fucking a girl.
Yeah.
There's like some big titties. There's some little titties. There's Monica Bellucci, right?
Yeah, she's one of the brides
just lusting after the camera. I mean,
I remember when I saw this in the theaters. I was like 17. I was like, this is like such a horny movie.
There's a full-on desecration of the cross in the beginning of the film. Let's go with 94.
94.
I'm going to go 100. I don't think there's anything about this he likes.
Oh, he likes a little bit.
Well, he's not going to admit it.
He likes that Keanu nipple shot.
He loves the Eddie Lennox song.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He just weeps rhapsodically at the end of the film.
I got to put on Diva after this.
He prays for a Eurythmics reunion every night.
That's right.
Where's the Eurythmics musical?
I don't know, Mark.
I'll call RuPaul right now.
Thank you. The Rusical? People said this last Rusical was really good.
It's very good.
What was it? I didn't see it.
It was
Wig Loose.
Wig Loose.
So it was like Footloose.
But fun.
But they tied it into all this anti-drag, anti-trans legislation.
Nice.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
For them.
Ready to move on. Okay. Yeah. What's next on the list?
I don't have cable. I don't know how to watch it. I gotta wait for it to show it on Paramount Plus.
I watch it from a hot tub with friends.
I know. You keep telling me.
You should come.
I'm waiting for the invite.
You're invited.
I can't.
We've heard it. Where's this hot tub?
In Boyle Heights.
Okay.
In a storage container.
Secret speakeasy.
Secret speakeasy.
It's a storage container pool that our friends had craned into their backyard, and then they filled it up, and now it's a hot tub. It's like a whole thing.
Does it say hot? Like, did they line it with something? They must be lined.
Yeah. It's been made into an official pool/hot tub. And they can put this divider thing in to have like a cool side and a hot side. It's great.
Like
it's
a McBLT.
Yeah,
it keeps bring your own beer. Yeah, it's good.
I have to bring my own beer?
You don't have to, but if you want to be that kind of guest.
No, I'd maybe bring a nice rosé or a...
Lovely.
Sure.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Just don't bring any of that buttery Chardonnay.
No.
Leaves a film on your teeth.
All right, our next category, Hell on Heels. By this we mean feisty ladies. But also I think Dracula himself is pretty much hell on heels.
I would say Dracula is the feistiest of the ladies, especially in his eldest form or maybe in bat form, bat slash wolf form. But yes, that's a very high number.
I like that you get to see Dracula in so many different forms.
Did you call him Dracula?
Did I? I didn't mean to. I said dry. No,
you might have.
You do. There's like mist.
Steampunk Jesus.
Old man. Right. Shadows that bounce around the castle.
Yes.
Shadows are fun.
Rats.
Total English fop with a giant top hat.
That's steampunk Jesus.
That wig he's wearing in those wig. London scenes are so good.
you know, they had money back then.
That wig is laid for the gods.
Laid for the gods.
Auntie.
But hell on heels. Yeah, I think Lucy gets there. She's feisty.
Oh, super feisty.
You don't think when she's like writhing around and then trying to like bite people?
Oh, come on, Winona at the very end. Like Mina is actually incredibly feisty by the end. She's
helping him.
Spoiler alert, sure. She saves the day. I mean, maybe we'll get into like feminist theory behind this film. But I think there's something really fascinating in rewatching the film where they have this big fight scene outside the castle. Then we think that Dracula is done for, but then he goes in, he's wounded. And then Clown Town, what's his name? Anthony Hopkins is like, no, let her go. She has to finish the work. And we're like, what are we talking about? She goes inside back to the scene of the crime with the big cross and everything where it all started. And she kind of like saves him, frees him, kills him, and saves herself all at the same time, like claiming her own sexuality and her bloodlust while also claiming her right to live as a human still. It's interesting.
I think so. And somehow I think like, I think they've accepted God again because like the crucifix heals.
There is that the crucifix heals or did it dissolve? It dissolves in the beginning.
No, the big one.
Oh, yeah, it does heal. You're right.
It heals. Right. Somewhere. Oh, like maybe she's like, all right, drank it. We've had our fun, but we got to get off the wagon. You know, we felt that we've, you know,
she closes we got to go to rehab. That was punctured in the beginning of the film. Yes. Like, her a love. Lot of blood.
In the end, the That's thing right. he renounced, he now has to accept again because she's back, I guess.
That's
so
right.
So maybe that she has healed the wound. And so you got to
Is she getting back
God.
With Keanu at the end of this day?
No, she's dead too, I thought,
She's a Dracula?
Yeah, because the last image you see them is like floating in heaven.
That's right.
So it's all done.
It's a little unclear.
You think?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wait, what's the category?
Hell on heels.
Hell on heels. So this is...
Feisty ladies.
Feisty ladies. Gosh. Well, I'm going to go with like a... Because Dracula is like the ultimate feisty lady, we have to give at least 50%.
Nothing sexist about that statement. No.
Nothing. And then beyond that, I don't know. Like, I'm going 61.
61.
I'll go 55.
Okay. 55. I'll go 59. Why not? Sure. Giving an average of 58.33, which is, 50 points. No, 20 points higher than Demolition Man. All right.
Good to know.
Good to know. Keep that in your... All right.
Next time
locked
you're in a hot
away
tub.
In my brain, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, in the hot tub tomorrow, I'll just blurt out, did you know?
Here's a fun fact I just learned.
Get that Chardonnay out of my face.
Ah! Speaking of, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Bram Stoker's Dracula and come away with a whole book of ideas?
100. How much higher than 100 could I go?
You can't.
You can't? Then it's 100. It's an absolute
it is
100.
It's a feast.
Yeah.
It's a 100. Visual feast. Like any queen, like I'm sure that Sharon Needles and all the goth queens that are out there in the world, I'm sure that Peaches Christ
Dracula itself.
Is absolutely obsessed with this film and the costume work and the makeup and the hair and the creature design. It's just amazing.
It's endlessly inventive. It's showing you stuff you've never, like Dracula in a way you've never seen before.
I mean, from the armor in that first scene to that Klimt-inspired, there's so much Kabuki reference. Apparently they asked her to do the scenic design.
Yeah.
And then
they saw some like costume sketches.
Coppola
like,
was like, no. Do the costumes for me, please. But her IMDb credits are so minimal. She didn't do a lot of work. She was,
but when she did it, she did it good.
When she did it, you saw it.
They handed her an Oscar.
Yeah, drag Sorry, queen Howard's inspiration, end. 100. 120%.
100.
I'll also give it 100.
Yeah, you got to give it 100. I'm giving it 100. You could do a night of 1,000 Bram Stoker's Draculas.
100%. Yeah. Sure. All those different forms. Good. I want to see that.
I want to see just the one who's all the rats piled up on top of each other. How do you do rats?
And I love that they're all like, there's hundreds of rats and the guys are like, get them. We have to kill them. And I'm like, there's literally hundreds of rats crawling around. What do you think you're going to do?
But also at that point, you can't go, ew, when they're like crawling over your feet. Like you just have to kill them. They're Dracula rats. You know? What are we hesitating
That's
for?
That's the pull quote for this podcast.
Yeah. You got to kill those Dracula rats. All right, this is the last of the canon categories now. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this movie to a gay person?
Oh, you know, before I watched it on Monday, I thought that would be 100, but now I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to give it an 81.
What if it was a theater gay person?
Oh, 110. Yeah, yeah. We have to break down the types of gays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my boyfriend walked in halfway through the film and was just like, this is terrible. And then walked out of the room. I was like, what? I was deeply wounded. But then at the end, I thought, is it kind of terrible? It's not terrible, but it's not the best.
It's not like a good, it's not a great movie, but it's like, no. No.
It's visually fun.
It's such a fun.
It would be great to have like in the background.
Sumptuous. And
But I do love the music.
If I was hosting a party or, like, you know, I could have it on in the background. It's like one of those things that you just always want to have around just in case.
Yeah. I like, could I just watch it in October? I was telling John this before. I just watched it in like, because I got the 4K Blu-ray, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, I have to watch it again. But then I got sucked right into it. And I think it flies. I think it moves really quick. Dude.
Why are you so obsessed with physical media?
Because you buy things and it goes away. And I like having things that I can just like turn to. And like,
so you hold it.
I like having that.
You have abandonment.
No one can like take
this. I want you to
this.
Bring your copy to the hot tub tomorrow, along with your bottle of Chardonnay.
Just, hey, boys. Just ready to liven up this party.
Cuddle up. A hot tub without this.
That's right.
I'll give it a 71.
71.
That's actually pretty high. That's higher than I thought you guys were going to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure. Am I supposed to be like defending my choice for gayest movie in this podcast?
No, your heart.
Okay, just honest.
Don't try to be something feedback. You're not. You know what I mean? We want
raw. Give it to you raw.
I think the visuals alone, though, are enough to like recommend this movie.
Yeah, and I think that actually the practical camera work, like
it's all just so beautifully
for a film
done.
Gay or a theater gay or an opera gay or a sartorial gay. There's like a lot of gays that would like this
a Tom
film.
Waits gay.
Yeah, a Tom. That's a category.
There
sure.
are many. Yes.
You like Shortcuts? You gotta watch Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'll give it a 90. I think you gotta watch Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I think you're calling it Brahm.
Brahm, yeah. Bram, Brahm.
I don't know.
Nobody
but
knows.
Brahm sounds so nice.
Brahm.
Brahm. Irishman.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I read it. Kind of boring. No Frankenstein.
Yeah, well.
Hey, got an 80.67, which is 9 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. All right, now we are into the aforementioned wheel category.
Spinning wheel.
These are all categories previous guests have brought, and we've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it once. Whatever category randomly pops up, we'll use that to judge the movie.
You queens developed an app in order to do this podcast?
No. $2.99.
Okay.
And then Mark and I are going to pick a category from the wheel. Then there's another wheel that listeners have submitted categories. We'll spin that once. And then finally, you will come up with a category, which we'll use to judge this movie and then add to the wheel. So it could potentially be used to judge all future movies. So if you'd like to just touch the wheel, that will spin it. Here we go.
You did it.
Suddenly shouting.
I think there's a lot
there's
of shouting. Shouting.
There's so much.
There's
I mean,
some. Gary Oldman is always like, in that first
Sadie
scene.
Sadie Frost
in the
is just shouting
grabs
all the
that
time.
Sword.
I mean, would you call Sadie Frost, like, she has orgasmic moaning. No, and she does some shouting, too. There's a lot of like, ecstatic shouting, I would say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But you're right. Dracula also is doing some wailing,
bellowing,
crying out to God, crying out to Satan.
Yeah. During like the chase to the castle when they're like racing against the sunset, there's a lot of suddenly shouting.
There's a lot of Haka, get him, Haka. They just I hate it in films when they just keep repeating names for some reason.
Just so you know,
on horseback, like in case you forgot this main character's name, it's Jonathan Harker because they're gonna say it 15 times now.
Over Christmas time, my family and I were watching like some Gerard Butler action thriller. Like we missed the first 5 minutes, so we didn't even know what it was called. But the whole time he's going, Lisa, where's Lisa? Lisa, they say Lisa so much in this movie. Anyways, it was fun. Gerard Butler.
There's a lot of like,
movie.
Mina, Lucy. You can't forget those ladies' names.
No, all two of them.
All two of them. That's right.
I think there's a lot of suddenly shouting.
I think there is. Yeah,
most characters shout at some point, except for Keanu. At one point, Keanu's wig turns all white, and then it goes back, then it mellows out.
But this is what I mean, is that like the film is messy in a way that I kind of appreciate, like the editing and the storytelling. Like, wait. Probably on the cutting room floor, there's some scene that explains why his hair goes white.
Like no one contacted,
but
right.
No one knows why. That's
I guess
great.
It was all those vampire brides
he's just
that did it to him.
Sucked dry, yeah. His youth was sucked from him, and now he's become
from his
owned.
Hair follicle.
Yeah, Jonathan Harker's not going to be making John Wick 4 when he's pushing 60.
Say that again?
Jonathan Harker will not be making John Wick 4 when he's pushing 60.
Oh, I see, John Wick 4. You're pulling in another film.
a recent one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw Scream 6 last night. Also yeah, very bloody. Think?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Stabby, stabby. And my boyfriend mm-hmm. came having never seen a Scream film in his life.
And? Able to follow it?
He is not really into scary movies, but it's fun to go with him because he jumps and he...
Oh, I like yeah. when people jump.
I have
think it's
to
funny.
Pry his hands from my thigh because he's gripping
I'm sure you
so
hate
tight.
That.
No, it's actually
that'll
kind of painful.
Him.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's kind of a little guy, but oh my gosh, like packs a punch.
Claws of a yeah. parakeet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, like abject screaming. We saw Other Place Part 2. Quiet Place?
Quiet Place.
Part 2. And actual screaming in the theater. That was kind of fun. Back to screaming. I'm giving it an 87.
87 and
there's
suddenly
a lot of screaming.
Shouting.
Yeah, I'll go 83.
Yeah, I'll go 87. Why not? Sure. Give an average of 85.67. All right, now it is John and I's turn to pick a cat. Did you have anything? I didn't really have anything. The only thing I thought of was drinks thrown in faces.
Oh, okay.
For when Sadie Frost pukes blood in Van Helsing's face. Because her blood was her drink.
True. I had a couple. Openly weeping. Because there was a blood tear.
So
that
much
was sort of fun.
Tears streaming down the face.
There
yes.
was also unnecessary nipples.
Or is that necessary?
You could have cut. I mean, like, I'm not saying I didn't like them.
I
didn't
would
say
it's
they were unwanted
nipples. It added to the eroticism, overall erotic atmosphere, though, don't
and
you
yet,
think?
It was all theoretical.
According to Roger Ebert. I think the eroticism between Mina and Dracula is theoretical, but between those brides and Jonathan Harker, that is in action.
Fair enough. But I think the one that is a true slam dunk is from The Grinch, Wigs.
Oh, sure. Wigs.
Wigs.
Is that you like that one?
Yeah, let's do Wigs.
We're going with Wigs.
Wigs is like a, oh my God.
It's all Wigs.
Again, 100. I mean, it's just so good.
And they're
good.
Like iconic. Like you see that little butt. Thing, and you're like,
so
oh, that's
good. His little
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the Kabuki inspired wig that's like way back. So like it looks like this
oh,
giant.
Oh, is that what
in,
that is?
In Japanese Kabuki theater, they wear like it's all about the forehead. It's a five head. It's a six head.
Mm. I would and, thrive.
Yeah, so just the crown of the head.
Your third act Kabuki.
I'm already so walking around with a Kabuki look.
So good, yeah.
Have you seen wigs? Like any like actual Kabuki theater?
Yes, I've been to Tokyo a lot for work because I work in themed entertainment sure. and design theme parks. So I've been to Japan quite a bit, and they do this thing on Saturday mornings where you can get into the first act of the Kabuki play for, I don't know, $20 or something. And they give you a little box so you can read the English titles.
Nice. Oh, like an electronic box?
It's a little like thing uh-huh. you put over your neck, like a little lunch pail, and then oh, you just cute. Hold it up in front
your
of your lap.
Bag.
Oh. And that way you don't bother the person next to you in case nice. They don't have one. It's very respectful. But
this sounds great.
Kabuki is fantastic. It's so, I mean... As a non-Japanese person, I'm not understanding a lot in terms right. of like cultural signifiers. Sure. But as an American theater lover, I watch it and my brain is just soaring. I absolutely love it. It's so good. The costumes are phenomenal. And it's all... The thing about it is it actually is a little bit like going to a Vogue ball because it's these houses, right? Like the Kabuki right. troupe is the house of
right.
the Smiths or the Jones or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And all of the queens in the audience are like screaming for their favorite performer. They're basically
oh.
like,
oh, nice.
You better work, bitch, like slay, but in Japanese and in this very different
and
way
because
it's Kabuki.
Fans.
Yes, there's fans. And there's audible like cheering and the audience is active. So if the performer is performing like some very famous dance or scene, uh-huh. the audience is yelling at them. And wow. apparently it's like, you better work. Slay.
Nice.
Yes.
But, what are like the what are like the shows? Are they just like romantic, like epic kind of things?
Yeah,
or like tragedy?
Everything. Yeah, yeah. There's I mean, I watched one where like a good hour and a half was just about how this woman was gonna make rice. And I thought
and you only saw the first act.
You'll never know.
That was just one act, and
that's just the first act.
That 90 minutes was just one act, like one scene of three scenes of the first act. So it's a full day of theater if you go to the
oh,
whole thing.
Oh wow!
But other times, it's warriors, the samurai sure. character comes out, and there's
sure,
just
sure,
like
sure.
lots of blustering and lots of peacocking with these amazing costumes and the sword and the whole shebang. There's this runway. This is it. Like, really is like watching
wow.
a drag show or like
sounds
a Vogue,
cool.
a Vogue battle. Just in a much more slow and steady way.
Sure.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. yes. Control, honey.
Control, honey.
Yeah, centuries of control.
John, what do you want to give this in Wigs?
100.
100.
Got to be 100.
Yeah, I'm giving it 100. Of course. 100. Got 100. Now we can't use Wigs anymore, though, for this 8.0.
I was going to say, my made-up category was going to be about Wigs, but oh well.
Oh, well.
It'll be about rat nests.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't you worry.
All right. So now we have the listener wheel, as you can see, very similar. Mm. Not a fewer entries, but equally beloved. So do you want to spin that one for us?
Listener
submitted.
Okay, great. Touching. Ba-da-ba-dum-bum-bum.
Ooh. Edge me. Let me look
edge
up.
Me. Oh, this is very appropriate for this
hold
phone.
Hold on. Hold on. Where's edge me?
I'm assuming I know what this
means.
This
comes from JY Park. They say tell hi to Aaron and Merrick. So say hi to Aaron and Merrick.
Hi, Aaron and Merrick.
Great. They say this: there is an undeniable grit and edginess to the movie, regardless of the genre or aesthetic of the film. That's how they describe the category "edge me." And they say, the question, how does scoring high in this category make the movie gayer? J.Y. Park says, queer cinema and movies beloved by queer people typically have something offside, uncomfortable, and edgy to them. Regardless of whether it's a drama or comedy, movies that resonate with queer audiences and staying power have a gritty undercurrent that runs through them. They're not wrong. So how edgy is it?
I think it's pretty high on the edgy score. That is not the edge me that I thought we were talking about. Because on that score of edge me, we were very high. This is a little bit, there's so much like heteronormative notion of like female sexuality, male sexuality, what's perverse, what's not, what's allowed, what's sanctified.
But it's pretty edgy to renounce God and stab a crucifix
and just soak up its blood.
In the first 5 minutes of your movie.
100%, yeah. And
I don't think most of America is cool with that kind of stuff.
And like probably developing not a whole supervillain category by yourself, like I'm a mad soldier, I'm going to become a blood-sucking Dracula, and that's like, you know, to become the OG of a whole category of supervillain, that's pretty edgy. That's kind of cool.
Sure.
Queers love vampires.
Cool. We do.
Yeah.
Well, we have a complicated relationship with blood,
monsters,
you know?
Sure. Yeah. And shape-shifting.
Mythology monsters.
Yeah.
Mist.
Rat nests, as we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Frogs.
These are all very... I'm going to go still pretty high. Like, I'm going with 72. On
72.
Yeah.
I'll go 66.
66. Yeah, I'll go 81.
Hi.
Giving an average of 73.
Rennie loves to edge.
I love to edge and I love to renounce God. I'm always doing it.
Stab that cross.
Stab that cross, honey.
Soak it up.
All right, now it's time, Eric, for you to come up with a category. We could brainstorm. Do you have any thoughts?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with, like, let's call it fit or furry.
What does this mean?
Okay.
I think, well, we said earlier about like how the wolf bat creature is kind of got its own like gay campiness to it, right? Like,
yeah.
When Michael Jackson becomes the werewolf, there's like some, I don't know, there's something about like that crossover of that, what is that sexual kink where people love like the
furries?
Furries? But the manga version where it's like, you know.
Like the transformation?
Yeah, the transformation. I don't know all about it, but it's hot. It's hot.
I've never Googled it, but.
No, never seen a single
thing. I have no Google alerts that.
But I'm going to go with fit or furry, and I guess you have to define your own, but yeah, how is that? Like, there's a lot of torsos and chests and bare chests,
like,
and necks,
like,
and
Beast and Beauty and the Beast would score very high.
Exactly, very
so
high.
Like a sexy beast.
A sexy beast, yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna put in parentheses sexy beast,
we'll do
so
fit
we remember.
Or furry colon sexy beast.
Colon.
Yeah,
let's see these beast colons.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of sexy beasts in it. That beast, they are sexy.
So muscular.
Like when Lucy's getting fucked by him, like, I get it.
Yeah, those red eyes.
Sure. There's a lot of eye motif. You love eye motifs? You gotta watch Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I think that there's like a part where the blood, the bite marks become the eyes.
They do. Yes. There's always dissolving.
Great cinematic dissolves. Yeah, transitioning us from one to another.
To hell.
That's right.
To the gods.
So what would you give Bram Stoker's Dracula in fit or furry sexy beast?
Yeah, gotta be pretty high. Let's go with a 76.
76. Because what is the high? I mean, what is like, you know, the platonic ideal of
I do think Beauty and the Beast is a great reference.
Yeah.
Because like there's too much.
Shape of Water.
For sure. Go. Oh, yeah. I got into a whole debate with someone once who really was upset that that movie was espousing bestiality and just promoting it. And
but
I thought,
not like
promoting
I think that's, you're missing the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, like, especially.
76.
You said 76.
I'm going with it.
You're sticking with it? All right.
I'm sticking with it.
I'll go 79.
John. We're fighting crazy. John's type, right, circling so the drain. Right,
79.
I'll go 84.
Wow.
I'm thinking, it's up there.
No, it's pretty, it's pretty up there. Yeah. I guess a highly sexualized furry beast with
anything with a werewolf
with
probably.
With torso just ripped.
Real V.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of those cum gutters.
He's got a lot of cum blood gutters. They call them when they're a vampire.
Sorry,
blood gutters.
Oh,
when
right. Got to get my liquids correct.
Yeah. Hey, got a 79.67. That's fun. All right, now we're into the bonus category.
Extra. All right, so these categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So it's just extra points it gets. So it's 0 to 10, and it's that percentage bonus points it will get.
All right, this one, musical potential. Could you see a musical being made out of Bram Stoker's Dracula? 1,000%,
as long as Annie Lennox scores the whole damn thing. 100.
Missionary Man would do 10. Great.
I will say this. There have been a slew of vampire Dracula musicals on Broadway, and they've all been terrible. They've all flopped.
So they're due for a good one.
Right. I'm going to go 7.
Just because of the history?
Because Elton John has tried, didn't get it right. Jim Steinman tried, didn't get it right.
Liz Diamond?
Jim Steinman.
Oh,
Liz Diamond, the chair of the directing department at Yale School of Drama. Yes, yes.
She couldn't do it.
She couldn't get it right.
Then what hope does anyone have?
I think 7 is underselling. I think that the fact that there's a bunch of bad just means that there's room for good.
That's right. It's an opportunity.
I think someone would have.
John, follow your heart.
You don't trust that Annie Lennox could 7. Get it done?
Why hasn't she then?
Well,
she's doing Lord of the Rings songs.
That's right.
Those movies are how old? When was the last time she did that?
So she should go in order of songs she's contributed soundtracks to.
They just announced Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson has got new ones. The first call he made was, Annie, we need a new credit song. It won't come out for 5 years, but get on it.
She's all right. I'll set a synth to drone and
walking
on
broken glass, honey.
See what happens.
I think because just the pure theatricality of it. And those costumes would read from the mezzanine.
Oh, 100%.
So I'll give it
Wait, can I tell a very short story?
Please.
When I was whatever story you five want. Or six, I was in Cub Scouts, I believe.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Fresno, California. And my dad is a minister, but also a theater teacher, which says
makes sense.
A lot. And my Cub Scouts troop went to see Dracula at the community college.
Uh-huh.
And in my memory,
like a play of it?
It was sublime. Yes, a theatrical version, a theatrical stage play, if you will.
Fun.
Yes.
And Frank Langella.
And I remember it being really good. And there was like special effects where there was like magic tricks. You know, he disappears.
Yeah.
And then a bat flew over the audience and everything. And it was great. I really, really enjoyed it. But then at the end of the play, I turned around and my father was like in the last row, just like sitting there. He had come, but like unannounced to the Cub Scouts troop. And it really confused me about, you know, like, is he Dracula?
You thought your dad was Dracula.
I thought you were going to say because he was a minister, he was going to be like, what the hell is this?
Well, possibly, but no, I think he liked it just as much as I did. Yeah.
Chilling.
He was happier as a theater teacher than as a minister.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
Hey, it got an average of 9. That's pretty. That's 4 points higher than Tootsie. And that was a musical.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So the unmade Bram Stoker's Dracula, better than Tootsie, which was
I believe that.
All right, our next category. Yas Queen. Are there moments that made you say, Yas Queen? I liked when Lucy was flirting with Quincy really hard.
Real hard.
When she's like talking about the knife. Oh, it's so big. Let me touch it.
Big.
And it's his knife. I'm like, good for you, girl.
What a fun role to play.
Delicious.
Where is Sadie Frost? Do we know?
Raising Jude Law's
she's
kids?
Doing, she's doing like British family films that never make it over here.
She's doing the equivalent of like Hallmark Hall of Fame movies, but British.
But British.
The GAC.
Yeah.
And based on young adult
of the United
novels.
Kingdom.
Very good. What's the category?
Yas Queen. Moments that made you say Yas Queen.
For me, it's all those like the first 15 minutes. It's all the costumes in the first 15 minutes.
I do like renouncing God. Yes. I think that's fun.
Oh, and stabbing that cross.
Yeah.
The blood.
Well, I love, you know, like, yeah, tear down this structure. Yeah, this is great. What has church ever done for anybody?
The first time I see that crazy armored, like, flesh suit that he's wearing with the wolf ears, very happy with that, the dragon suit. And then, the red robe. I mean, that crazy wig when he licks the blood. There's a lot of Yas Queen. I'm going to give it at least a Let's go 5.
5.
I'll go 4.
4. I say Yas Queen when Dracula like explodes out of that box.
Heck yes. And also, it's really good, the orgy scene when the three brides of Dracula are like sucking on that Keanu titty.
Poor Keanu titty.
Yeah, that's a Yas Queen moment.
Yas Queens.
I'll give it a 5. Give it an average of 4.67, which is 4 points lower than what Cabaret got in the same category.
Well, that's just Liza Z.
Maybe this I think signature if tunes, Mina yes. sang maybe this time.
There you go.
Or Dracula probably needs to be the one to sing that. That makes
good
more sense.
Is shitting alone in your room.
Has anyone done Cabaret but with vampires?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right.
Oh, that could work.
There
yeah.
you go.
Nazis vampires or cabaret performers as vampires.
I think the
Alan Cumming is a vampire, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
so right?
I guess they've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, Messy Diva.
Ooh.
How are we doing on Messy Divas?
Oh, super high. I mean, Dracula is the ultimate Messy Diva, I have to say.
And then also Lucy, before she's turned, she invites like these three men over and flirts with all of them.
Lucy...
She's,
I mean,
like, planning her own
yeah.
Mamma Mia
heck
situation.
Yeah, no, I'm yeah. going with a 9 on that one.
Yeah.
I'll go 8.
8. I'll go 9. You've got to go to him. You've got to love him. I always remember that part. I think it was in the trailer. I think I was, when I saw this trailer, I was, like, very excited for, like, the trailer.
Yeah.
Great trailer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just seeing images of, like, what the fuck is this movie?
I just like
so
watching
crazy.
Trailers from, like, the early 90s. Their trailers were completely different then. I miss those kinds of trailers. Yeah. But just, like, a very strange written narrative structure to trailers
yes.
is great. And that font type that they chose for Dracula, for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Thank you.
So, like etched metal or something.
Yeah,
raised
really cool.
metal. It was very cool.
Wonder where that is. Probably in Coppola Winery.
I want
or
it. Yeah. He lives in Napa. I looked it up.
Good for him. He's making some crazy movie now. Like, he got some Who big knows? Budget. He's
some
doing
Napoleon
some Megalopolis. No, Megalopolis.
Do oh, wow. people
like
make
Robert
these
Pattinson
kinds of, like, super lush, sumptuous movies anymore? I'm trying to think of, like, in the last five...
Like, handmade
no.
one?
This
like, Guy
so
Madden
handmade.
Is, like, the only one who does that kind of stuff now?
I guess I'm, like, looking at Ishioka and her costume work with Tarsem. Similarly, like... super lush, romantic, kind of not the best storytelling, but really
right.
amazing visuals. I don't know. I'm trying
that
to think
that one
of people...
woman who did like The Love Witch, Anna Biller,
mm-hmm.
which is all just like, you know, capturing like, this is what 60s Technicolor movies
right.
were like, that kind of thing.
The Love Witch.
Love Witch, baby! Our next category, macabre.
Oh,
how macabre yeah. is this?
Super 10. I mean,
it's mostly macabre.
Okay, it's got to be a 10. 10's
across
the board, honey.
10's across the board.
Yes, work, Dracula.
He did it. All right, this is the last of the bonus category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Oh, that's a 0.
Tom Waits is not gay.
No, none of them are gay. At least
nobody's
not.
Gay.
I mean, Gary Oldman has, like, you know, let someone do something. But
I'm sure.
Sure. He's
been
I mean,
in
they're
theater.
All actors. I'm sure
yes,
they're all.
Yes.
Wait, is Richard Grant?
He's not.
No.
He's
I think
not?
They're,
wow.
I think this is like a super... Yeah, that's what's so strange about like my
Richard
when I chose
Grant.
The yeah. film. I was so excited, and then I realized I was like, "Oh, this is way more straight than I even remember."
Yeah, that's everything from the '90s, though.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
It's tough.
Sam.
So a 0.
That's a 0.
0. 0. Some of those extras, though, in the downtown London scenes,
probably.
I'll give a 0.
I think it's a 0.
Got a 0.
Oh,
all
we
right.
didn't talk much about Anthony Hopkins. I mean, he's got a. Is he gay? He's not
no.
gay.
No.
But he's got a. I mean, I'm sure he's dabbled a little bit.
You think?
Oh, sure.
Come on. This is based on.
Yeah, he knows.
He's, the he's done so much stage
he's
work.
He's done so much stage
yeah,
work.
Yeah,
sure.
He knows the bar.
So many
quite
cast
well,
parties.
You know,
yeah,
so he was Nixon.
Little diddle backstage.
Sure. Jonathan
he's had
Denny.
Dressers. He's given
little
a tip.
Dabble
to
in the makeup chair. Why
sure.
not?
I mean, he was Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the Hannibal musical? Where's that musical, John?
There is one. It was called Silence. Jeff Hiller was in it.
Oh, yeah. But like a dramatic one, like a non-funny one.
I don't know. I'll talk to the people who make musicals and make sure they make one for you.
Call them.
Call them. We're the musicals. All right. Now we're into the iconic category.
All right, so these categories.
A lot of categories.
It's that complicated
Byzantine. It's very impressive.
We're almost done. We're almost
no,
done.
No.
So these are bigger, sort of more like, you know, marquee categories. So it's 0 to 300
oh,
for these.
Oh, whoa. This could really throw things off.
This really could change
or
things.
Or help things, maybe.
Math.
We'll see.
Okay.
All right, the first one, Eric. How would you rate Bram Stoker's Dracula on a scale of 0 to 300 in homoeroticism?
Oh, gosh. There's so little.
It's really just when Dracula's with... Jonathan at the beginning.
It's just that first section. So that out of 300, I'm going with like 45.
45.
I'm going to go 27.
Ooh,
27.
So
in that razor.
That's a long scene. No.
I'll go 39.
Not very homework. Hey, but it got a 37, which is about 29.66 points higher than The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
I'm so proud.
So tell your friends in the tank.
I must write Mother.
Yeah, all right. The next one. Queer 101. How much of this would you say is like an essential queer text?
Oh, text? Oh, yeah. Dracula is an essential queer text.
But this Bram movie. Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah, because that's like Bram Stoker. I mean, that's like the OG Bram Stoker. I'm going, it's like a 220.
220?
221. Wow. So I think so.
If you were teaching a queer 101 class,
you'd be like, we're watching Bram Stoker's
You have 12
Dracula.
Weeks.
Eric Hoff, the theater.
This is true.
Gay,
this is true.
This would be absolute like required, like monster drama.
We're talking about this movie, not the.
I heard the word text, and so.
Yeah, but
movies can be text.
But teach, yeah. I would put this in like a kind of a queer studies on like Grand Guignol and camp. It's in
but that's
there.
101.
It's in
there. Yeah, well, that's the class. Talking, I guess this is his 101.
Yeah, 101. Gosh, there's so much limited time.
I know.
Are we on quarters or semesters? I don't know.
Trimesters.
Is it a trimester?
Oh, God.
That sounds like geometry.
Make your own grade.
Okay, we'll go with a 143.
143.
I don't think there's a lot here that feels essential to like gay cinema. I'm going to have to go 33.
Wow.
Sorry. 33. You do need to know it, though. Because I do think you should be able to like see like know like if you see someone in a red robe and that white wig, like you should know what that's from.
I think so. Yeah, there's certain
if you want to be, if you're profess to be any student of pop culture,
but you need that for brunch. If you're going
yes.
to a brunch, you need to know
any
that.
Brunch I'm sure. going to. Uh-huh. If somebody doesn't know them, like you ignorant.
Get out of here.
Go home.
Take
I got a 4K you can borrow
home.
That I
know
will
when
want
I
that.
Walk into brunch, I just say, anyone ever seen Bram Stoker's
yes.
Dracula?
Brunch Stoker's
I've
Dracula.
I've traveled across oceans to find you.
I've traveled. You know what's so funny syrup. Is that they hold on her face during that line, not on him delivering it, which makes me
ADR.
Wonder.
ADR.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's really sick today.
I'll give it a 50. Given an average of 75.33, which is 28 points higher than Demolition Man.
When they did that scene, they didn't have anywhere to put his microphone because his shirt was open. So they were like, his nipple wasn't erect enough to clip the microphone.
And we left the boom at home.
That's right. Yeah. Whoopsie.
All right, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Bram Stoker's Dracula?
It's so campy. It's like, it's a lot of camp.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's like camp and great looks is like why this movie is fun. I think
when Gary Oldman is in that giant red robe with the butt wig,
yeah,
sure,
and like is reaching his like long dirty fingernails across, mm-hmm. and then the shadow is playing
that amazing shadow.
I think it's
so great.
Super high camp, actually.
Yeah,
even like the way the
theatricality of it all.
The Batwolf man is like lusting after. I mean, it's so campy.
Because it's also a thing I like. This movie is clearly all done. Not a single like location.
It's all
a soundstage.
It's all a soundstage.
It's, all, like, it's a dream world. Like I like this is what if I ever make a movie on a soundstage. Oh, it's got like this is the dream. Like these sets are amazing.
No, that's
you know?
Right. It's sure. like you can imagine this is like the most expensive theater production ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like even the way they transition from scene to scene. I'm going really high on this one. Let's go with it. 273.
I'll go 230.
230.
Thanks for being in the twos. I appreciate
no
you.
No problem.
That's a good time for a post-lunch coffee. 230.
That's why I went that.
Good. All right. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Getting bad news via arrow, dramatically renouncing God, drinking the blood that comes out of a crucifix after you stab it, castle silhouettes that look like a dead man on a throne, shadow work, swinging a sword at a dinner guest who made a joke, naughty versions of Arabian Nights, inventing a new classification of lunatic, catching Count Dracula scampering along the side of a castle, discovering your client's sex dungeon, giving your vampire brides a baby to tide them over when they're feeling peckish, having to go after your horny friend in the middle of the night only to catch them having sex with a beast man, horny blood transfusions, trying to sell someone on absinthe, Dracula getting stood up, drinking through a veil, over-the-top coffins, personified mist, drinking a guy's blood and then asking to be taken away from all this death, talk about mixed messages, and finally, writhing.
Let's not forget shouting random non sequiturs in Romanian into the wind.
Yeah.
Camp.
That's camp.
Camp.
I'll give it 250. Give an average of 251, which is the highest we've... that's the highest we've had in Camp ever on this scoring system, version 8.0. Mm-hmm. So out of the last...
how long has this camp section been in the
10 movies. This is the 10th.
Okay. So I feel good about
the next highest is Rebecca with a 236. Also a visually
Rebecca.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All right, finally, we're into the crown jewels.
All right, so these categories we don't rate. We just say yes or no.
Great.
All right, the first one, a 50% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Bram Stoker's Dracula have a positive? It certainly doesn't.
No. I mean, we're rooting for Renfield, but...
Even, like, implied homosexuality, like, you know, the lonely vampire in the castle, it's no, it's bad. It's a no.
Sure. He's like a Bryan Singer figure. That's what you're saying. All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
There are stone walls.
True.
But this is not the movie Stonewall. So it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right. Very good. All right. That's it. We're done.
All right. So, Eric, now that we've been through it, do you still think it is in the low 40s? Is that what you said ultimately?
I think it got higher.
You
somehow.
Think you went higher?
I think we're like up in the upper 60s or something.
Okay. I'll tell you exactly how it did.
I'm a creative director. I don't do math.
No, that's for budget people. Well, give me a budget person. Out of a total possible 2,365.58 points, Bram Stoker's has scored 1,496.25, giving it a percentage of 63.25%, making it the 93rd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Fried Green Tomatoes, but gayer than 9 to 5.
How?
I don't think it's gayer than 9 to 5.
No, I don't think so either.
9 to 5 was one of the first things we ever did.
This is a scientific system.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever gone back and done a movie a second
time?
Showgirls. Because the scoring system has changed.
So
yeah.
Camp on that one, I mean, my God. Yeah, that should get like 900 points. How do you even do that? Ooh.
I mean, Showgirls did very well. But that's a fun spot.
Yeah, it's a fun spot.
Two mom movies.
Bit of a surprise.
Bit of a triple feature.
Why not?
Yeah, but we did it.
That's it.
Aren't there some like out lesbians in Fried Green Tomatoes?
Well, in like the book, they are definitely lesbians, but in the movie, it's more coded.
Coded.
But clearly, like these are clearly a lesbian relationship.
The 90s, y'all. Wow. Right.
Problematic time.
Yes.
Not a lot of great things.
It was the beginning of it, though. Like it was, I feel like the 90s was like, all right, we just got out of AIDS. Or, yeah. I mean, obviously it was happening, but it was like the gay stories didn't have to just be about AIDS, but it was like, but we can't fully.
They don't have to die.
The early 90s, like in the at least in themed entertainment world, was all about the family friendly. Like even Vegas Strip, they were trying to turn into family friendly. So they built these themed hotels, and they were like, the casino is going to be family friendly. And so Disney got that awful kind of like color palette of the pastels and the turquoises and like the mustard yellows all smashed up and magenta next to each other. And everything, they were just trying to appeal to the full family because the 80s.
That's where the money is.
Yes, exactly. And there was kind of that weird boom coming out of the late 80s. But my God, then the film industry and just in rewatching some 90s films during the pandemic, I couldn't believe how homophobic they were.
I hadn't seen City Slickers for a while. I used to love City Slickers. Put it back on. Like one of the first scenes is like Daniel Stern, like the whole time Daniel Stern's wife is like, she's mean. She's like shrill and always like, you got to do better. You're late for work. And like, but then like Yeardley Smith shows up as like a pregnant 20-year-old that he like knocked up. And then Daniel Stern is just like screaming at his wife. And like, this is like one of the heroes. This is how the movie starts. I was like, I can't watch this. I turned it off before they even got to Jack Palance.
Wow.
Which movie was I just watching where this guy hops into a cab and
Taxi Driver.
And you were on a plane.
No. It was a
and then Whitney Houston showed up.
It was a comedy where Luke Wilson is in it. And the first joke is the cab driver turning around and saying something like, I'm not a faggot or something. It was really, like the first bit of dialogue. Oh, it was old school.
Oh, there you go.
Which was more like 05 maybe.
That was a really toxic time.
Yeah. The rest of the film, not super homophobic, but like, to just drop that right in the first 60 seconds of the film.
About
they were like, we're just going to color this the rest of your movie watching experience just so you know They're not it's gay.
Safe. Yeah.
They may want to live together in a house and wrestle in petroleum
and
streak jelly
and whatnot.
And streak naked through this, this university town, but they're not.
I definitely
gay.
Feel like 2000s were like definitely like, it's like everything in culture. Like, we're a reaction to like 90s became slightly more progressive, but then 80s were like, yeah, we know, or 2000s were like, yeah, we know there's gay people out there, but we're not one of them.
Yeah. Lots of
as if
lots
audience
of
was like, well, I saw Philadelphia, so surely everyone is gay in movies now. Oh, wait, these guys aren't. Oh, interesting.
Well, if Tom Hanks can do it.
Yeah, anyone's gay. Who's next? Peter Scolari? I'll never believe it. Eric, what a treat.
Such a delight.
What a delight. One of my faves, this movie. And you are one of my faves. Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, yeah. Right now, my boyfriend is selling t-shirts to raise money for the Transgender Law Center. So go to Carter Donnell on Instagram and pre-order your t-shirt. They're designed with Sylvia Rivera, the trans activist and community organizer, in mind. And they're doing pre-sale right now. One is designed by Braulio Amato, who's a kind of famous illustrator, and the other by Jeff Chung, who is just a rad fine artist and
awesome.
Skater.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll have a link plug in that. The show notes.
What a great plug.
Great plug.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twooldqueenstwoldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain all the current movie rankings.
Yeah, so you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. We love hearing from you.
We got a Patreon as well, if you don't know that by now. Patreon.com/twooldqueens, where you get twice the queenage every month.
Yes, and we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones, and a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
But that's it, right?
That's it.
That's all we got.
We did it.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.